It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today in Abounding Grace. I'm joined with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff, Langley Canadian Reformed Church, on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. We're thankful to raise certain subjects and issues that pertain to Christianity today. And one that Wes and I thought would be very appropriate today is to go back to the earlier part of the 20th century. And at that time, the Christian church was dealing with the problem of liberalism.
Or modernism.
Modernism.
Sometimes called.
And one of the interesting things is that J. Gretchen Machen wrote a book at that time that really did rock the Christian world, because the book was Christianity and Liberalism. It's still a classic to this day. We would encourage you to get the book, read the book.
Still in print.
Still in print. It's wonderful. But Christianity and Liberalism, and the thing that was so jolting about the book was that Machen made the case that liberalism in Christianity, and we're not talking about the categories that we deal with, the Republicans and liberals in our day. We're talking about religious phenomenon in the church.
Yeah, people who denied the reality of the resurrection. For instance, that they said that the resurrection was just something that the apostles created, that it was something that lived in their hearts, that Jesus rose from the dead in their hearts instead of in history.
Right, or the virgin birth or anything that could not be rationally proven. They had rationalism still.
Miracles.
Miracles, all these sort of things. But these sort of approaches in the church, what Machen said was that Christian liberalism was not Christianity.
Right, that it was another religion.
It was another religion, and that really shook the foundations at that time, because really things had turned. And I want to give, Wes, we could interact with this, but I want to give a statement that Machen makes in his book. And I think the striking thing, my friends, this is 1922. See how this correlates with today. The fundamental fault, this is Machen, Christianity and Liberalism, chapter 3. The fundamental fault of the modern church is that she is busily engaged in an absolutely impossible task. She is busily engaged in calling the righteous to repentance. Modern preachers are trying to bring men into the church without requiring them to relinquish their pride. They are trying to help men avoid the conviction of sin. The preacher gets up into the pulpit, opens the Bible, addresses the congregation somewhat as follows. "You people are very good," he says. Now, he goes on with more. "Such is modern preaching. It's heard every Sunday in thousands of pulpits," 1922, I remind you, "but it is entirely futile. Even our Lord did not call the righteous to repentance, and probably we shall be no more successful than he."
Yeah.
What do you say to that, Wes?
This is so prophetic. I mean, nothing has changed since the 1920s. I mean, this could have been written today. And that's one of the reasons why we encourage listeners to get this book. I mean, this book still speaks today. The only thing that's changed are the names. They're not called liberals anymore. They're called evangelicals. And, you know, that may be shocking to some of our listeners who self-identify with that term. But, you know, if you look around in what we call evangelicalism, you'll find what Machen calls liberalism. This idea that, you know, when we address our church, our congregation, they're not sinners. These are the righteous. These are
we don't even use the word anymore.
Well, exactly. People just need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of good advice. They need a little bit of guidance, right?
Well, and what kind of message, if we were to take this, I mean, we could say this was not 19, just 22. We could go all the way back to AD 25. AD 30, where Christ in his earthly ministry, what sort of message would the Pharisees have loved? You guys are doing well. You know?
That's what they expected at the end of the age, or when the Messiah come. came, they expected that they were going to get a pat on the back.
Yeah.
That their culture of righteousness, their mentality would be vindicated. And that God would give them a divine pat on the back and say, you did it right.
Well, and he would look at all the bad people and say, see those guys over there? They get the message of judgment. But you know what? I can give you some advice on how to better your life. I could give you
become
a better you, common book today. Pharisees would have loved that. But what made the Pharisees mad? What made the Pharisees furious was that Jesus said, you are under the same condemnation. You're sinners. You need me. And you know what? I've come for sinners. I didn't come for the righteous. That is, those who think they have inherent good in them and can attain to God's righteous standard themselves.
Right. Well, you think of that parable the Lord Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? The two men praying in the temple. The one ostentatiously praying and announcing his righteousness to everyone who would hear. And then the tax collector beating his breast, calling out for God's mercy, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Who did Jesus say went home justified? It was the one who recognized himself to be a sinner.
The fundamental issue, I believe, what we're dealing with here, and I think Machen raises in Christianity and liberalism, is that our starting point is all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Our starting point with who God is in his holiness, in his otherness, in his transcendence is the word that Machen uses. And if you get this wrong, then it affects your whole doctrine of who we are, what we need, what Christ has come to do. It's ironic that today Christ has only become a great moral example.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? How do we follow these seven laws for attaining to this? Jesus is not a savior today. He's not a deliverer. He's not a redeemer. He's a Ben Franklin. He's a
life coach.
Life coach, helping us along our way to have a good model moral life.
Yeah.
You know? And Machen says this in the book. He says the truth is that liberalism. Now remember, we're transferring that word today. We could say to evangelicalism has lost sight of is the very center and core of the Christian teaching. In the Christian view of God as set forth in the Bible, there are many elements, but one attribute of God is absolutely fundamental in the Bible. One attribute is absolutely necessary in order to render intelligible all the rest. That attribute is the awful transcendence of God. From the beginning to end, the Bible is concerned to set forth the awful gulf that separates the creature from the creator.
Right, and I think, you know, even more foundational than the view of God is the way in which the Bible is treated today, right? Because how do we know all these things about God? We know them from the scriptures. And if you're in a church where the Bible is never opened, except perhaps maybe at the end of a motivational speech or something like that, that is supposed to be a sermon, you know, how can you expect to hear this about God, right? We have to be... We've said this over and over and over again, but I'm going to repeat it. You have to be in a church where the Bible is being preached, where the Bible is foundational, where you're hearing quotes from the Bible from beginning to end through the worship service, where, you know, God is being revealed.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Machen goes on to say there's two effects of that. Once we have established the Bible as the foundation and the authority from which we work,
that's so basic.
And live. It's so basic to Christianity. But then when we get back to the conception of God, one of the things that Machen highlights in this book is that the modern liberal evangelical Christianity has really developed a very pantheistic view of God.
Right.
He's in everything. He is everything. He is so brought to our level that gulf that separates us, that he's holy, transcendent, and other, that we are sinners, which is lost today.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is put on equal plane, but that we are sinners at the very root is the loss, Machen says, of the liberal movement is the loss of the consciousness of sin.
Mm. Yeah.
The loss of the consciousness of sin.
Well, and you see that reflected in the fact that, you know, how many of, you know, the listeners who are listening to this program, does your church preach the law? Do you hear the Ten Commandments on any given Sunday? I know in Reformed churches, in your church and my church, you know, we read the Ten Commandments every Sunday.
Well, and why do we do that? Because the law was added, what did Paul say? For transgressions. The law was added to expose the real reality of our own hearts.
Exactly. So that we would be driven to Christ.
That we would see a great Savior.
Precisely, exactly.
So he goes on to say, the conscience of sin was formerly the starting point of all preaching, but today it's gone. It's gone.
In the 1920s, and we could say the same thing today.
Yeah. And so again, as we've talked on Abounding Grace, the need for Christ as a Savior is lost.
Yeah. Well, and then he goes on to talk about a supreme confidence in human goodness.
Yeah. Well, and thus, what is the result? If we remove these starting points, the basic fundamentals of the Christian faith, what would you produce in Christianity? You would produce a Christless Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for him.
Except perhaps as a moral example.
Moral example.
Life coach.
And that's exactly what we're seeing play out on the scene of the American Evangelical Church. And what will be interesting, Wes, in the years to come is to see how long this will continue. How long the church can endure this sort of approach with no real change of life or effect on the heart.
Yeah.
It will burn out at some point.
And what we'll probably see is that the center of Christianity, where the gospel is truly being preached, is not going to be in America. It's not going to be in Canada. It's going to be in places like Brazil or China or in other lands that were previously dominated by paganism.
That's right.
And we will revert.
Well, and it's interesting that today, Europe, once a flourishing place where the gospel was preached, it's gone.
Yeah, it's all secular.
And Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, I'll close with this, that the reason that happened is because ministers got into the social gospel. Rick Warren or all these guys are into the social gospel. Yeah. They're not preaching Christ.
Yeah.
Anyways, Wes, you preach Christ at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Right. People can find us on the internet at www.langleycanrc.org. You can also find us on the ground at, we're on 52nd Avenue in Langley, just to the east of the airport. And we have our worship services at 9:30 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we would certainly welcome you to join us.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. We hope these are encouragement to you to press forward in this great knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him crucified as the only way to be right with God. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.